The Donut Box.
The Donut Box.
Healing your relationship with food and your body can be kind of frustrating sometimes because you can feel like you're doing so well on your journey, like you're getting away from your old habits, but you still end up binging for some reason, feeling very uncomfortable and very full. How do we go about this? Well, in today's episode, we are going to be answering a letter sent to us that discusses this very problem. What can we do if we've gone through a binge to prevent it and to go through it? My name is Jo Sebastian. I'm a registered nutritionist and dietitian, and you're listening to The Donut Box, where we unbox stories and talk about things we usually don't talk about. And today, it's another letter sender. It's Jo.
And it's Elijah.
And you're listening to
The Donut Box.
Hello, Elijah.
Hello, Jo. We're back. And hello, yes. Everybody to the everybody that's listening. Today is going to be a really good episode.
Mm-hmm. We got another letter for today's episode. I actually love the letters.
Yes.
I love when we're reading the letters because I can relate to a lot of them. That's number one. And I also kind of go back to the time when I was feeling the same way and like looking back and be like, oh yeah, this is what I did and this is how I got here. And it's always helpful for me to recognize that I was not alone in my journey. You know, like people are struggling with something that I've struggled with as well. But I hope it's also helpful for those listening to know that it's not impossible for us to get out of there or like come out of that struggle, you know?
I agree with you that it's relatable. But for me, I guess it's not as relatable because we haven't had a bulimia case yet, right?
Well, we've talked about it. And I mean, is that the only thing you can relate to?
No, I mean, I know, like, you know, the binging and the mm-hmm. dieting and the yo-yo. Yeah,
the last letter was the fitness journey one.
But, yeah, and the fitness journey one. But, yeah, I wonder if you know, bulimia is really that hard of a topic for people to outwardly want to and reach out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, it took a long, long time. Like I said in previous podcasts that, like, less than 10 people before the podcast knew about my whole thing, right? But as I was able to gain more confidence and, you know, my steps towards healing became a little bit easier, it was easier for me to come out with it and, you know, let it out. And I just want to say that for the people out there who are holding on to that burden on your shoulders, you know, sometimes it makes it a lot easier when you can finally tell someone about it, and it really helps.
Yes, not just for bulimia, not just for purging, for anything, from binge eating to feeling afraid of food, if you're struggling with your workout journey, if you're struggling with feeling obsessed with your weight, you could relate to that episode when we talked about that.
Yeah, definitely.
There's a lot, the one with the health anxiety. You could relate to a lot of the letters.
Okay, fine. Maybe it just, I haven't felt complete yet. Wow, complete.
I think there's always going to be a little bit of us in each letter. Like there's always going to be a little bit of that. Because a lot of our topics are related to like health and your relationship with food and your body. So there's always going to be that little piece of you there. And the only letter you can fully relate to is probably the one that you write. So let's take a look at this letter over here. Letter music, please.
Opening a letter.
Okay, let's read it. Hi, Miss Jo. I binge ate again and my stomach and head hurts so badly. I didn't restrict myself hours before the party like I'd used to, but I still binged. What can I do to bounce back or prevent this from happening again? Okay, I like this letter a lot.
Yes.
There's a lot of things that we're going to touch up on this letter, which is number one, the topic of I don't restrict myself, but I still binge ate. Another one is being at a party and struggling to, you know, be more mindful when you're eating out or hanging out with people. And then mm-hmm. the thought of bouncing back / preventing mm-hmm. this. Okay. So let's start off with The beginning words, I binge ate and my stomach and head hurts so badly. This is very common to happen when it comes to a binge eating episode. We usually talk about this, but we have to differentiate again overeating versus binge eating just because it is a very, very important distinction, right? So overeating is when you eat a large amount of food, which often up to an uncomfortable level. And this is usually a situational occurrence. One of those situations similar to the letter sender, a party, you know? Christmas party, birthday party.
Yeah, anything. Like, actually, any Filipino party has a lot of food. Even funerals and wakes have so much food, right? Like, in our culture, right?
Yeah, why food... is it not like that in the US? Isn't it like that also?
I don't know. I've been to a few wakes here and funerals, and some of them don't have food. I think it really depends on the culture.
I also think, well, I don't know, movies always show when they're like in the funeral wake, it's like a potluck. They always bring food. So...
Like, because I was watching, like, if you watch, like, Bridge to Terabithia, when she dies, there wasn't a potluck.
Spoiler!
Hey, that's you've watched it. Your crush is on there.
Okay, yeah, so the girl apparently dies in that movie. Yeah. Didn't they have a potluck?
No, it was all sad, and then everybody's just, like, crying.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, the focus isn't in food. But yeah, definitely in the Filipino culture, there's food always and almost everywhere. One of the big things that we usually say is kain, you know, and... Okay, quick question to veer off the topic. When somebody says to you, tara kain, when you're like in their house and stuff, what is your response? Because okay. Of course the response is usually... like, you know, the usual response is like, yeah, okay lang po, kain lang po kayo.
I've never ever said no, except like when I really am full. But for the most part, I always say yes. And funnily enough, I used to have neighbors, Korean neighbors, who I'm still friends with and caught up with them recently ever since moving back. But yeah, when I was in high school, elementary school, middle school, I would literally go to their house like 3 times a week. I would go, like, I would knock, they'd open the door, I'd be like, hey guys, what's up? I go straight to their fridge. And it got to the point where their mom, like, had
locked their fridge.
No. Their mom loves the fact that I love eating. So mm-hmm. It got to the point where she would give me my own, like, part in the fridge.
Wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, okay. This is Elijah's food.
Wow. All right. Yeah. So I think that's one of my big things is because I'm a shy person. So anytime somebody offers me food, I will often say no because of my own fear of eating in front of people. Like, that's kind of a thing that I struggle with. That's why before I used to like really overeat in parties. But when I started to struggle with my relationship with food, I started to actually undereat in parties because my fear of getting food and people seeing me eat. Like, there was that aspect to it.
Is the fear of you getting seen while eating, is it you're embarrassed that they see, like, your mouth open or the judgment of, like, oh, she's eating so much? Or is it both?
Mostly the second one, because I remember when you first messaged me and like you were like asking me to go out with you and stuff like that, I said like, yeah, we'll just have like a drink, not coffee, because I don't drink coffee, but like, yeah, let's just go have a drink, because in my mind I'm like, I just met you, I don't want you to see me eat. Like, I used to hide and like eat in the bathroom during college because of my fear that people would see me eat. I don't know. But yeah, that's one of the distinctions between overeating and binge eating is, one, overeating tends to happen in certain occasions. Like, yes, there was a party, or the food just tasted extra good. Like, somehow the sinigang that day just had that extra asim that you're like, delicious. Yeah.
Or like, you're at a buffet, happens to me all the time, unlimited sushi, and you're like, oh my god, that's salmon. And then you realize, very I just specific. Ate like 60 pieces of salmon and now my tummy hurts, but did I regret it? No, because that was salmon and I love salmon. Anyways, I mean, that's just maybe some person's experience. Not my experience at all.
Yeah, sure, we believe you. And then there's other situations, like you go out with your family. You know, like every weekend we tend to hang out more, eat out more. It's not necessarily because it's like a cheat day, but because you're more relaxed. You don't have work, you don't have much to think about, and you're more likely going to not want to cook because you just want to rest, so you want to eat out, and you want to try all of these different foods. So overeating is situational. It happens. You eat a large amount of food. Very normal. That is okay. The difference with it from binge eating is that binge eating really feels impulsive and out of control. And it feels like you're on autopilot. Like you just, somehow your body is just wired to just keep on putting food into your mouth. Even if your stomach and your whole body is already saying, I can't do this anymore, your thought is still, no, we just gotta keep on going. That usually leads for your stomach hurting, of course, because it's full of food. And then your head hurting because, you know, you're full of food, basically. So why did we have to differentiate it? Again, because overeating is a very normal occurrence. But if you struggle with binge eating and you find yourself binge eating more than once, twice, or three times a week, that can fall under the binge eating disorder.
Actually leads me to the question of, is the person actually binging? Because like she says she binge ate again. Did she binge eat at the party? Or is she confusing overeating at the party? Unless she felt really guilty and like she spiraled and she ate so much food and then afterwards, you know, maybe she purged it out or whatever, or she just felt really, really guilty. So that's what I'm trying to figure out as well, where it's like, did she binge or did she mistaken the word binge for overeating?
Yeah, that's definitely something we always have to distinguish when it comes to talking about when we eat too much. Because we often use the term binge eating very loosely. Where it's like, oh, I just ate an extra cup of rice. And then in our head is already like, oh, I binged ate. Or, which is, of course, it's not necessarily bad to eat that. But when we start seeing binge eating very loosely, we take away the power or the importance of binge eating, where for us, it's just everybody does it, matakaw ka lang. So we end up watering it down versus when it actually is overeating. And of course, if you feel guilt and you're struggling, it's not to say that, oh, you didn't even binge eat, you just overate, like get over yourself. That's not what we're saying. It's just important to know which one is which, because if you still struggle with binge eating, then that's really when we have to tap in a little bit more in your relationship with food and your body. Now, if you overate and you feel extra uncomfortable, then that would be us learning more about mindfulness around eating, especially when it comes to things like a party. So to the statement of, I didn't restrict myself hours before the party like I usually do, but I still binged. I usually get this phrase or this question a lot, because I usually say, right, you know, oftentimes binge eating comes from restriction. But what if I don't restrict myself? I actually let myself eat whatever I want. Why am I still binge eating? That's often the question that I get. And that's actually because we have different types of restriction. Okay. Yeah, it's not as black and white of just like you're restricting, meaning you're not eating or not eating these certain foods. And then you're not restricting, you're eating whatever you want. There are different categories that we can pinpoint in restriction to help us identify. So we have number one, actual restriction. This is when you are literally restricting your food intake, whether this be in amounts of food or types of food.
Types of food, yep. So yeah, this is usually the type of restriction where I think a lot of people who are in the fitness space, everybody who's trying to lose weight, that is one thing that 100% I know everybody's doing, because in order to lose weight, you have to restrict a lot, and people usually restrict a lot of food, so they end up doing that type of restriction.
Well, it could be, yeah. So actual restriction can be to the point of like you're literally not eating a whole big food group, or you're eating very, very low calories, like 1,200 calories or less, or you're skipping meals and so on. But it can also be a simple reduction of food as well, right? And we've talked about this a little bit before. We'll probably talk more about it in another episode. When it comes to weight loss, it is inherently restrictive. it's not necessarily saying that you're not allowing yourself to eat certain foods just so that you can lose weight, but because you do have to create a calorie deficit, weight loss in itself is inherently restrictive.
Like, scientifically, you have to do it in order to lose weight.
Like, physiologically, you have to you have to decrease your amount of calories, which your body will find as a restriction in that sense. Okay, so that's actual restriction. And you end up binge eating because your body literally fights it. Like, oh, you're not eating enough. I need food. Let's eat more. Like, the signals of your body sending you to tell you that you have to eat increases, and you're more likely to binge eat. So in the situation that they mentioned of the party, a common instance where you would either overeat or binge eat during a party is when you are restricting throughout the day and then making up for it in the party. Is that something that you used to do party-wise, Elijah?
Yeah, a lot. For me, it was a lot easier to binge at parties because I would be like, I would eat a lot. I'd be like, oh, excuse me, I gotta go to the bathroom.
And you would consider that a binge for you? Okay.
Yeah.
You mean easier for you to like purge it out too?
Yeah. So the binge was easier for me to do it in public, right?
Okay. So that's different.
I was never like embarrassed to do it because nobody knew. You know what I mean? It was just my secret. Because usually when, for example, when you're at home, you don't have that excuse to, or like if you do go to the bathroom, it's a lot harder to hide it. So like, for example, your mom, dad, or whatever are here, you end up like getting all the food and then hiding it, going to your room and then eating it in secret. And then it was harder to purge because you would have to like hide all the food and stuff. Like there were times that my mom would be like, you're eating again in the room. Like she would find wrappers and stuff. It's like, why are you doing that? And I was like, oh, I was just hungry. Like, but I was like scared that she would find out. But at a party, it was never.
Mm-hmm. It's like free for all.
Yeah, it was free for all. I was like,
no one's gonna judge you if you're.
No one's gonna
getting
judge me.
Third plate.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I'll eat everything I want and to my content, and then because nobody knows I'm gonna go to the restroom anyways.
Like it becomes an excuse in a sense to like allow yourself to binge. So
exactly.
That's actually quite interesting. Most of the time, binge eating is always like done in private and you're always afraid. So it's interesting to see it being used as like an opportunity to binge in that sense, parties. I used to do it too where I was like, okay, I'm even just eating out. Like I would like skip a meal because, oh, I'm going to eat a lot later. And because that hunger builds so much, the binge or the uncomfortable feeling at a party really does come up. Of course, the letter sender mentioned that that's not what they did, but that is just to share for those who might be struggling in that sense or feeling the need to restrict before a party or a buffet or eating out. It can lead you to end up binge eating or uncomfortably overeating to the point where it's just too much. Because the hungrier you are, more often than not, the more full you will be. So the other form of restriction is conditional restriction. This is you allowing yourself to eat, but with conditions. Similar sample conditions of this is like, yeah, you can have coffee, but only black. Sure, you can have rice, but only brown.
Brown rice, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or you can have chicken, but only
the breast.
Breast that is bland and not seasoned, and
you know what's funny, seasonings don't have calories, salt doesn't have calories, which is why it boggles my mind when you have like bodybuilders or just in general who have the broccoli chicken rice diet and they don't season their chicken, and I'm like, paprika doesn't have calories, salt doesn't have calories, pepper doesn't have, why does your chicken have to be tasteless? That makes it even harder to like eat. Or maybe that's why, because they're we solved it, because
the less flavor the less you eat.
Yeah, like, well, nobody wants to eat a bland chicken.
That works for it to some degree for some people, but then the other degree is like you're chasing satiety because it's not there, right? So it really depends on the individual, but most of the time that form of like eating boring food just makes you think of the more exciting foods even more. Like I often have my clients who tell me, they're like, oh, I actually eat a regular amount. Actually, I eat a lot. They try so much to control themselves and they try to eat clean. They try to eat healthy, but they end up overeating and binge eating. And we talk about how satiety is actually such a big factor to that, because if you don't like the food that you eat, you're still craving all of these certain foods, something crunchy, something sweet. It's part of the experience of eating, right? And that's why conditional restriction does end up binge eating, because you don't fully feel satisfied. Like, you allow yourself to have coffee, but it's only black, but you don't even like black coffee.
Yep.
Then you're still going to want the hit of that perfect latte to be there. Okay, so let's go into the third type of restriction, which is mental restriction. And this is usually the one that's kind of the hardest to get through, because it is the one that is like deeply, deeply ingrained, where most of the time you eat whatever you want, but as you eat things, you are mentally punishing yourself. So as you're eating the ice cream, oh, this is so bad. This is so high in sugar. This sucks. I shouldn't be eating this. As you're having your, your cakes. Ugh, I should never be eating cake. Or like, why am I eating this again? I'm so weak. Or as you eat white rice, this is so bad for me. Why do I choose this? You know, all of those conversations are happening in your mind.
No, I was actually wondering, is with mental restriction, if the person is eating what they want, how does that lead them into a binge? Or is that what's happening in this letter?
Yes, exactly. Is that it? I don't know if that's what's happening to them, but
I mean,
that's kind of what we mentioned of why most of the time you think you're not restricting yourself because you are eating what you want. But because you're mentally still punishing yourself for your food choices, your body will still sink into that guilt, and it leads to, well, I already ate it, might as well just keep eating more. Or now you're eating out of like stress, and now it becomes like a whole emotional session of like, I'm so bad for eating this, and like, ugh, why am I doing this to myself? So there's tension being held around that food item, which often leads us into a binge or eating to very uncomfortable levels. So that's something to tap into if you still find yourself binge eating, even if you feel like you're not restricting. Take a look at, are you actually eating enough throughout the day? Are the calories actually enough? Because sometimes you don't notice that you're trying so much to volume eat, but you're still not eating enough calories overall. Do you have conditional restrictions where you allow yourself to eat foods, but there are certain ways you're only allowed to eat them, or food rules in place? Or do you find yourself still mentally punishing yourself for all of your food choices, where you're still thinking of food as bad and good, you're still thinking of it as clean eating versus junk, you're still, that lingering guilt is still there, and it takes over when you start to sense it. So that is one of the things that I want to talk about with this letter sender. Yes, it's great you didn't restrict yourself before the party, but there are still other forms of restriction that may be in place that tends to lead us into this uncomfortable eating spree.
Sometimes I wonder if I still have some sort of mental restrictions, because sometimes I do find myself in those thoughts. Not as much as I used to, but now that you brought it up again, it's like, huh, I do have those thoughts where it's like, I don't know, I'm eating like a cheesecake. It's like, oh my God, it has so much fat in it. Oh, but it's so good.
But it's so good.
It's like a mental battle in my head. It's like, yes, it's so good, but it's so fat. But then I just eat it because I like it. And then the it's so good thought beats the it's so bad thought. So I don't know if like that's just me trying to recondition my way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you're supposed to do it, because like I said, I've never really thought about it like until now.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. Mental restriction is kind of something that's really tough to work through. It's one of the hardest ones, because actual restriction, your body will literally fight that for you. Conditional restriction, you tend to lean towards the food that you like. But when it comes to food that you are eating and you're mentally punishing yourself, it's a little bit harder to get through that. It's not bad to have those thoughts necessarily. Like, okay, those thoughts will definitely happen. Even until now, I still have those times where I'm like, oh, should I really be eating this? Like, recently when I was in the hospital with my sister, I was getting banana queue. I was thinking, I'm not moving all day. Like, I'm mostly in the hospital room. Should I be eating this? So those thoughts are always unfortunately, they're always going to be there in some way, shape, or form. And that's not necessarily bad. The thing is how you respond to those thoughts. Does it become your reality to the sense, or yep, I probably shouldn't eat this because I suck and I am not allowed for this type of food? Or do we challenge it? So like you mentioned, you're challenging it to, instead of like, yeah, this is so bad for me, I shouldn't be eating this, but it tastes good and that's actually a valid reason for me to eat, right? Which is one of the things that I actually do in my program, where you really have to focus on reframing a lot of the words that you use around food, because sometimes this is the big reason why we tend to binge.
Actually, well, the thing that I've been trying to apply to cravings is like the thing that you taught me, where it's like, if you're craving it, I mean, just eat it. And the more I've been doing that, the less I've been seeking it out. And I just, you know, and a lot of people will say, oh, but, you know, you're going to end up eating more and more and more and more. But, you know, for me, in my experience, like, I've been craving burritos recently. So I would have a burrito maybe once or twice a week, and now the craving's gone. So I'm not looking for burritos anymore, you know?
Yeah. That's kind of what my dad does to us all the time. He literally overfeeds us with the food that we like, and then it comes to the point where like, oh my god, I never want to eat this again. There are certain foods, I forgot, like for example, one time it was bucci. There was bucci that we would have, and then he would always pass by it, and then he would like, we would always have it every single day. The first few times, just like, I want to eat as much of it as I can. And then later on, it's like, oh my gosh, daddy, so what now? We're gonna bumili nito, please. You know, that's one of the reasons why you have to first give yourself permission, because you're not gonna get to the point of knowing what your cravings truly are if you're not giving yourself permission first. Cravings will be there, and you won't know if it's because you actually want it or because you're telling yourself you're not allowed to have it. That's why we challenge those restrictions, and the mental restriction especially. So if you did binge eat in the party, again, check into what type of restriction might be in place. Maybe you didn't skip any eating throughout the day and you did still binge eat. So maybe it's not actual restriction, but maybe there's still some conditional restrictions there where you told yourself you're allowed to eat at the party, but you did put limits to what you could eat. And so when you ate more than that, you started to feel in some guilt and it started to become a whole other experience. Or are there mental restrictions that led you to feel like you're only allowed to eat these foods now? So we go into the scarcity mindset that tends to come in with parties. Oh, wow,
it's a full circle. We're going back to the past podcast. Wow.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The scarcity mindset, again, is that thought that you're only allowed to eat this food sometimes. This is only going to come here once in a while. You're never going to be able to eat this again. So eat as much of it as you can right now, right? This can happen even if you didn't restrict yourself throughout the day. But because you go into that scarcity mindset of like, well, oh my god, this is my only time to eat this. Like, I gotta make this food. I'm gonna eat as much of it as I can. All the way up to the point that you feel very, very uncomfortable.
I have a question for the situation of this person. Let's say they're at the party and then they notice that they're about to go on a binge. What would you do in that situation?
Before, I would probably like try to distract myself as much as possible. There are different ways to go about it. One way is to go through the distraction route of, okay, try to ground yourself, especially if it's an intense feeling. Not necessarily distract to the point of like, you like just pull yourself away from the intensity of the feeling until it neutralizes to the point that you can now decide to eat without the urgency. Okay, so it could be through doing an activity, like something very routine, washing dishes, journaling, trying to talk to somebody to help ground. On the other hand, sometimes you gotta give in and you gotta give yourself that permission. But that permission should not come with a limitation. And by limitation, I mean, fine, you can eat whatever you want now because tomorrow, and then tomorrow just, you won't eat breakfast anymore, right? So sometimes we give conditional permission. You have to remember it has to be unconditional permission. That even if you're going to eat a lot of food right now, you can also eat a lot of food tomorrow. Sometimes when I get rid of that, when I give in to it, the tension releases, and then I get to come back to like listening to my body. And that happened to me recently where I was feeling so snacky. I was just like grabbing a bunch of snacks, just putting them in my mouth. And I'm like, what's happening right now? Okay, I am just going to put a lot of the food that I want on a plate and I'm just going to eat that. Like I'm just going to sit down and eat mindfully and intentionally instead of all of this snacking. And that's when I was like, oh, I'm full. Okay, I don't want it anymore. So the tension released and I was able to come back to listening to myself. So those are the two things. Grounding through different activities or really setting aside that time to intentionally allow
just
yourself
do it. Yep.
To binge if that's what you need to eat if that's what you want.
Yeah, that has recently happened to me where I had this overwhelming sense of I just need to eat a lot of things. And I did it, but I had to like let go of the blame game with myself where it's like, oh, I'm weak, or oh, I don't want to go down this spiral again. In a way, what I just did was I conditioned and questioned myself and told myself, hey, did you enjoy it though? Like, did you enjoy the food? If so, why? So I started questioning myself of why do I think I went on that binge? And oh, it's because I skipped lunch and I had a big workout and I just couldn't control myself. Well, not control, but there were so many factors that led up to it that, you know, when you're busy, you don't tend to think about it. And then so instincts just come in and your body, that's your body's way of, like you said earlier, that's your body's way of telling you that you're restricting yourself too much and you have to eat. And I guess my body's way of doing that in that sense is, you know, the years of experience, like just the overwhelming urge to just eat whatever I want and whatever I see. So I just like, I saw a burger place, I got In-N-Out and I ate like two double doubles and yeah, but I enjoyed it.
Yes, that's always what we talk about is curiosity over judgment in terms of when you binge. So to the point of the questions, what can I do to bounce back or prevent this from happening? Figure out what caused it. You know, that we come back into those reasons a little bit. Number one, are you actually maybe, like we mentioned, mentally restricting, maybe conditionally restricting, or maybe the scarcity mindset kicked in? Number two, was it a binge or did you just eat to an uncomfortable level? What led you to eating to an uncomfortable level? Why were you unable to notice those signals when it told you that you were already full? Were you eating distractedly? Were you eating food that you didn't like and then you ended up just not feeling satisfied overall? Or what happened throughout the week? Maybe throughout the week you didn't eat food that you liked, so by the time you hit the party, you're like, oh, this is all food is so delicious. Like there's that satiety that has been there's this unsatisfied feeling that has been building up throughout the whole week, and I'm only able to satisfy that now. It's built up, you know. So there are many different reasons, like Elijah mentioned, that you have to tap into so that you can acknowledge why it happened. Remember, it's not a bad thing, but you have to figure out where it's coming from in order for you to move forward with it.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, now that I think about it, this is very, like, I mean, this is so multifactorial, where if you read it again, I didn't restrict myself, but in what way, right? What if, yeah, you did eat the amount of calories you need to eat, you were physically full, but what if you were actually restricting, and that's because you weren't eating a big food group, or you cut out sugars, and then, but to you, you were not restricting because you were eating to fullness. But when you got to the party, like what Joe said, you're like, oh, pizza, oh, spaghetti, oh, sweets, you know, all the stuff that you wouldn't eat or you hadn't eaten in a while was just all there staring back at you. And you're like, yep, I gotta eat all of that right now, even though you are full or you are satisfied physically. But mentally, yes. You aren't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's so many aspects to it that it really depends on the situation and the person that takes like that deep dive. Now, what can you do to prevent this in the future? Once you are able to pinpoint or identify what may have caused it, whether it be undereating in the past, a different type of restriction, maybe you were not satisfied, or maybe you were distracted, or maybe you just enjoyed the food a lot, and like that's okay as well. Like it's also perfectly fine for that to happen. Once you've identified it, you'll be able to be more mindful of the situation next time. All right, so if you know that there's going to be a party, you know what tends to happen, you'll be prepared in the sense that, okay, I know I'm going to be more mindful with this. I know I'm going to have to take my time. I know that I can take breaks in between each quote-unquote course of the meal so that I can reconnect with my hunger and fullness cues. If the fear is you're not going to have enough enjoyment of each of the food that you want to eat, my usual recommendation is to do a tasting platter of all of the options until you find the ones you want to stick to and like keep coming back to.
Kind of like a buffet, right? That's how you do it. Pick the ones that you think look good. Oh, or pick the ones that you think look good, eat it. Oh, these are the good ones. Then you go back to the good ones.
Yeah, because I find that most of the time in parties, I hype up the food so much and then I put so much on my plate. And then when I take a bite, I'm like, this did not taste good.
Joe does this so many times with me.
I used to do that.
No. Joe and I would go to like weddings and at the reception or like my graduation party. No, it didn't happen at my graduation party, but yeah, it happened like in a few occasions where she would eat it and she would put it on her plate, and then like 5 minutes later she's like, hey, do you want to take my insert food here, because I took too much because I thought it was good but it wasn't actually good. Luckily, for the most part, I thought the food was good, so I would get the food and I would eat it for her.
Excuse me, I don't do that as much now because I have learned, because there is that scarcity mindset that kicks in, and in my head I can't eat all of these foods, so I put it all in my plate, right? But then when I taste it, I'm like, what the hell? This lasagna is not even good. Like, I don't usually get to eat lasagna because I don't want to make lasagna. Like, that's
it's so hard to make. Like, yeah. No, I mean, thank it's you. Not hard. It's just tedious. That's
it takes energy.
Yeah.
Making food in
everything
general
takes
is kind
energy,
of,
Joe.
Yeah. No, I know. That's what I was saying. Making food in general does take energy. And that's why when you're at a party and you see food where you're like, ooh, I would normally not prepare this. I normally wouldn't make this or even buy this because it's expensive. It's normal for you to jump into that, ooh, eat as much of it as you can. But then sometimes it's not actually what you expected it to be. That's why the tasting platter that I've started doing has been so helpful for me. Elijah's actually the one who fills up more of his plate, but he always finishes it. So that's
yeah,
the difference.
Because I know what they usually taste. Come on. The usual catering tastes exactly the same.
Yeah, but sometimes when we're not even in the usual catering, it's like we're at a new restaurant and you're order this.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. I want that one. I want that one. That looks good. I'm going to eat that one.
Yeah. No, which is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But then we recognize that when we do tend to go overboard sometimes to the point where we're uncomfortable. So you have to remember, are you eating these foods because you like them? Or are you eating them because you feel like you're not allowed to eat them? You're never going to have them again? That really helps us tap in a bit. Now, what else can you do to prevent this from happening? Try not to overcompensate after it happens. There's a difference between not eating because you're full and not eating because in your head you had eaten way too much and don't deserve to eat another meal, right?
That hits the spot because that happens to me. That used to happen to me all the time where it's like, I'm going to skip breakfast. I'm going to eat. With a lot of in the Philippines, that happens all the time. You hear like your titas or titos, they'll be like, oh yeah, busog pa ako from last night, so I'm just gonna eat dinner na lang. I'm gonna skip my breakfast and my lunch. Pero deep down there, you probably know it's because they felt guilty that they ate too much
the night
before.
Or you're trying to make up for it.
Yeah.
Because it's normal for that to happen where, let's say, you ate a really, really big lunch. Most of the time by dinner time, you're kind of like, I'm not really hungry anymore. You know, like that happens. That like literally happens. Especially when you have a lunch out and then your lunch was kind of like middle lunch dinner. Like it wasn't 12 o'clock. It was like 1 or 2. So by the time you were going to eat dinner, you're kind of like, I'm pretty full. I will still sometimes have like a very light meal because I know I'm going to get too hungry in the morning if I even skip it. But that's okay. That happens. But you have to really look into the intention. Are you not eating because you are full? Or are you not eating because of your fear of having eaten a lot of food? Because that will usually create the cycle even more. Right? So overcompensating really tends to create that cycle again. So to prevent the cycle from happening, you have to steer away from the behavior that started it, which is usually either restricting or purging. So you don't have to work it off. You don't have to skip a meal. It's okay. Your body will know what to do with it. Go back to your usual routine. Take your time until your body starts to regulate and feel like, okay, this is no big deal when this happens. It's okay. We'll be able to work through it. All right. So I think we pretty much covered the letter. To go back into everything that we said, tap into first what the reasons were for binge eating or overeating or reaching for more food in the party. Next time, try to strategize maybe as you go into the different foods to help you be more mindful and intentional as you're eating in the party. Again, it's perfectly fine to overeat. It's perfectly fine to eat the food that you want to. But if you do end up feeling that head hurting, stomach aching, that gives us more information for next time of how much you can take and how much is comfortable to prevent it from feeling that extra uncomfortable.
Exactly. And then, like what we mentioned earlier, if you do end up finding yourself in that binge, you have two ways to handle it. One is to ground yourself, look for something else to pull you back a little bit until you have that sensation, you know, not as strong. And the second part is just let it happen, but without condition.
Yes. And when it does happen, there is no need to overcompensate. You don't need to do anything but figure out what happened so that you can address it in the future. But in terms of routine and action, nothing has to be done. Okay. So, yep, hopefully to this letter sender, this was helpful for you on your journey. These were some of the things I wish I heard and knew when I was struggling with that. So hopefully this was what you needed or what can help you out.
Yeah, I wish you well, whoever you are, and we wish you the best of luck.
All right. Thank you. All right.
Thank you for this podcast. Bye, guys.
Thank you so much for listening in. Don't forget to follow at the Donut Box Pod if you want to have more episodes like this. And also send us your letters at the Donut Box Pod on Instagram so that we can help you through your journey. You can also follow me at It's Joe Sebastian on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, X, and Threads. And don't forget to follow at healwithjoe.rnd on Instagram as well for more nutrition things. The Donut Box Podcast is an Anima podcast. And don't forget to follow them for the latest pods. Until the next episode, don't forget, you always deserve to eat.